After that. Nothing like putting pressure on. It's good to be here, and it's good to be finally, I think, a citizen of Withfield County or something like that. And we are in the house. We do know where the bed is. That's about it. Refrigerator, all that's all moved around and all of that, but we do have a place to lay our heads, so I guess we're thankful for that. Then we're going to be leaving and going out of town to the convention and all of that, get back next week, so maybe by next week we can start making headways to finding where the living room and all the other places are in there. So we appreciate your prayers, those that have helped out, those that have been gracious to feed us. All of those things that has taken place with this transition has really been helpful, and we appreciate everything that everyone has done. As we have come over here, we have also come trying to worship God, and that is what we want to do. We come here to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. And so today as we come, we want to be thinking about, why do we go to church? As we think about that, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for we who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. May God add a blessing upon this reading. Let us pray. Father, we pray now that you would just speak to us. Help us to clear our minds, our hearts, our ears of all the things that will distract us, and let us worship you now. Let us hear from you, God. May your word speak to us and through us, and may we leave excited about what can be done this week in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Why do we come to church? Miss Doe and her mink comes to church. The elder man with the cane who probably cannot hear a word comes. But why does he come? Why does that man tag along with that girl? Why do little ones with their pencils and Sunday school papers come back Sunday after Sunday? And why does those men and women with their smiles stand at the door with their bulletins week after week, and in our case, the women too? And we appreciate that. Some of course, come out of habit, which is a good habit. If we all had a good habit of coming to church, we would have a church full, wouldn't we? But we just don't have that habit. Some are bored with a week of dullness, and they come hoping to catch a break from church that will give them a spark that is needed for the next ones. And some just come for friendliness, fellowship, the handshakes, the hugs, and they come week after week. But I think they come to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think sometimes we have a habit of forgetting what we are here for and thinking about all the other things. And we're good, Baptists especially, are good with programs, aren't we? We have all kinds of programs that we can do. And sometimes we get so caught up with these programs that we forget what worship is all about. True worship. We come to church and we sit on our hands and our knees. I remember one time I went to a revival up in West Virginia, and I was a student at Bluefield College, and they took me up here way up in these mountains, and if I had to get back, I could have not got back. GPS would not even register that area. And we were at a tent revival, and we got to the point where the preacher says, God is laying on his heart that somebody is going to give $5,000. And he says, there's that man right there. And all of a sudden, he'd started doing it more and more. And I kept looking around, you know, being a college student, didn't know any better. And I didn't see any hands. But he was pointing. So I made up my mind real quick, being a poorer college student than I was, I would take and I would put my hands underneath and sit down on them, and I wasn't going to move. A fly could have landed on my nose, a bee or anything else, and I would not have swatted it because I was not going to give $5,000 that night. I didn't have it. People are scared sometimes to show emotions, aren't they? We need to open up and let God just work in us and share with us His love. That's what He wants to do. And so we come to church for fellowship. We come to church to worship. And too many times we are afraid of what somebody else might say, aren't we? I can remember the first time an evangelical person came into my home church. And they were praising God through praise hymns like we were just doing. And all of a sudden, a lady raised her hands up and was crying while she was singing. And of course, everybody got whiplash that day because everybody's head jerked to see who that was raising their hands. They were more worried about her raising her hands than they were worshiping God. And so this is why we need to look at this. Why do we come to church? Why do we come to here? We come here to worship, and we come here to share and to let God just fill us up, don't we? And He can do that in so many ways. He can do it in music. And I tell you, I am blessed with the music that I've heard. I am blessed. I don't know about you, but I love music. Can't sing a lick, but I love music. And as long as I don't sing where everybody else can hear it, we have good music. So, but we can still worship. And I tell you, the music was the words, the praise hymns that we were singing. If you listen to those words as you're singing those, it's your prayer to God. It's your conversation with God. And that is what it's all about. And that's what we come. And we also come to confess our sins. We come to God. We don't have to come here to confess sins, but isn't that a place that we can come and do it and feel comfortable to be able to do it? And others come here to discover the answers to pressures of life that is going on. They come to worship. They come to see their own ways and to look and to see how God is working in our lives. And we come together and to see above the heartaches and the headlines of so much of this world that God is almighty. He can do all things. And that is what counts when we come, isn't it? To realize that God is almighty, all powerful, all sovereign, and that there's nothing that God can't do. And if we will come together and worship Him, He is going to be here to worship with us. And the added bonus to that is He is going to help us to worship if we just let loose sometimes. If we just let our hair down, if we just worship. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 12, He told the Israelites, "Assemble the people, the men and the women and the children and the aliens who is in your town, in order that they may hear and learn and fear the Lord your God, and to be careful to observe all the words of this law." We're to gather together. That's what He said. Gather people together. Assembly the people together, whatever way you want to. The Southern Baptist took that theme several years ago when you said, gather the people together. And you know, that's something that has not died. We have people out in this community that are unchurched. We have people in this community that are lost. And if that trumpet sounds right this very minute, friends and neighbors, probably relatives and family members could end up in hell. And is that what you want? Is that what you want? And this is what He's calling us to do. Could come together. And as we come together, we will assemble together. And we will study. We will worship. And we will learn to grow together. And this is what church is all about. So as we think about it in the next few minutes, I want us to look at three things that will help us. Number one, to worship. In verse 22, He says this: "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." It's 8:30 in the morning.
The setting varies. The acts are the same, though. Everyone comes in, and we see that somebody has already come in and turned the lights on, unlocked the doors. They check the heat or the air conditioner, whichever one it may be. If you're careful, you may hear somebody practicing music before it all starts. The ushers are all in their places with the bulletins in their hands. The organ, the piano, sometimes both play together. People, old and young, come from different spots in this area. People nod to one another and smile, maybe even give a hug or two. There's a hum of whisper across the room, and Miss Doe looks around, hoping no one will notice. She just wants to know who's here. Her eyes fall on a nice-looking young man with a girl she taught in Sunday school 10 years before. An elderly man comes and wants to know where the hearing station is so he can get a hearing aid. Children fresh from Sunday school or getting ready to go to Sunday school run and meet their parents or their friends. The door closes, the whispers dies, and services begin. But what is worship? Webster defines it this way. It is a reverence offered to a divine being or supernatural power. A reverence offered to a divine power. An act of expressing such reverence. A form of religious practice with its creeds and rituals. Extravagant respect or admiration for or devotion to an object of esteem. But Franklin Sigler says worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to fill the mind and with the truth of God. Can you imagine our minds being filled with God? Wow, that would be exciting. I mean, we've got it filled with all this other stuff in the world, don't we? But can you imagine that God just pushes all that stuff out and it's filled your mind with Him? To purge the imagination by the beauty of God. Yesterday morning I got up, went down, and we finally did find a coffee machine. So we finally had coffee. And as I was sitting there drinking a cup of coffee, I looked out the kitchen window, and there over top of that mountain, here come the sun. The sky was blue with a touch of orange, you know? And all of a sudden, here comes a plane, and it leaves that white trail, but it hit just right, and it turned orange as the plane was going by. And I was sitting there with a cup of coffee thinking, wow, this is amazing. This is God's beauty that He has given us. And it should remind us, shouldn't it, that this is the imagination, the beauty of God that He gives us. It's to open the heart to the love of Jesus. Here's my heart, Lord. I remember the first time I gave my heart to a girl. At that time, I thought it was true love. Everybody else said it was puppy love. I soon learned out it was puppy love. But I remember when we broke up how crushed I was. And I swore I would never do that again. And then God continued to love me. He brought my lovely wife to me. And I looked at her and said, you just need to go away. And I'm glad she didn't take no for an answer. But you know, God has filled me with love. And since I have given my heart to Him, God has given me so many adventures, so many neat friends all over this world. All kinds of things have happened, good and bad. Things that we can laugh about, things that we can share with. It is to devote the will of the purpose of God. What are we devoted to? You know, you heard people, I'm an avid this, I'm an avid that. What if we were avid Christians? What if that was what we were really into? Are you into computers? Are you into electronics? Are you into car racing or whatever? You know? We got ladies that are just starting a knitting, I won't say a class, but a get-together, that are really into doing that. And they don't come down there just to talk. They do some of that too. But they come to knit and to work. They're into that. Suppose we were begin to get into God. Why do we come to go to church? We come to worship, but secondly, we come to be inspired.
Now, when I think of that, verse 23 says, "Let us hold unswerving to the hope we profess, for we who promised is faithful." Now, I'm not thinking, and I'm not saying, that I'm standing here to inspire you. That's not the deal at all. Most people think the preacher, the music, and all that has to inspire. And it doesn't. We're not up here to inspire. We can't do the inspiring. All we can do is be used by God, isn't it? That's it. Because if I'm up here trying to inspire you, I've just fell flat on my face. I can't do it. But when I let God work through me, we can do that. We can come inspired. We get inspired about all kinds of things, don't we? Many people are inspired by different things, different people and others. Musicians are inspired and they write music and they play music. Now, my problem with music is simply this. I always want to learn to play a guitar. But I found out that sitting there and putting your fingers up here for an A and just going doomp is not music. I want to play music. And I don't want to have to learn all the chords and just strut a little bit. But there are others that did that. They learned to play the piano. They learned it and they studied it. And now they have begun to share with us their music, the beauty of it. Musicians, artists are inspired. Michelangelo is said to have slept in his clothes because he didn't want to waste any time, that when he was inspired, he wanted to rush and start painting immediately. He didn't want to take time to get out of the bed and put his clothes on and then go. He wanted to go straight to it. He was inspired to paint and to make and to do things. And Christians should be inspired by God to love Him, to serve Him, and to worship Him. And that is what we need to do. We come to church to worship God and to become inspired. Exciting. Now, we met with the worship committee the other night, and we sat here and we talked about this. And this is what we have decided. We have decided that what we want to do is we want to take the 8:30 service, the 11 o'clock service, and we want to make it the most worshipful experience that it can be. So guess what? We're going to try some things. We're going to try to figure out how to worship God in a way that is so exciting, so wowing to each one of us, that when we walk out of these doors, we are so excited about God, we can't wait to continue to worship Him. That's what we come, to be inspired. And then to be inspired to go talk to others and to share with others about the experiences that we had. We can talk about the weather, we can talk about our sports teams and all of these things, but how many times can we talk about God with other people? How many times can you walk up and stand in a line and say, yeah, you know, a lot of people out here today, you know, and that's coming with Christmas time right around the corner. Everybody's going to be standing in lines, and we're going to talk to people, aren't we? What are we going to talk about? How long we stand in line? Those rude people that cut line in front of us and this, that, and the other. But what about God? What about God? How can people see the love of God in us, not just here on Sunday mornings, but each and every day of our lives? That's what we're coming, to be inspired. We come to church to worship. We come to be inspired. But thirdly, we come for fellowship. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Now, a lot of close friends have relationships where we pick on one another. Right, sir? And we do. We enjoy picking on one another. And the day that we don't pick on the other one, we know that something is wrong. But we spur one another on. We encourage one another. And that's what we as Christians should do as a family in Christ. Spur one another. Excite one another on. My son has a lot of friends that he went to school with that still get together. And they get together for parties, football games and basketball games and things like that. And they spur one another on. And they yell at the TV and the referees and all of that. And the referee can't hear them even, you know, if they were in the stands, but much less on TV. They spur one another on. How do we spur one another on? We can do it in worship. We can do it in Sunday school. We can do it in training. And we can do it by praying for one another and seeing one another and giving one another encouragement. I remember an old saying my mother used to tell me, birds of a feather will flock together. And I didn't understand that as a child. I didn't understand that. But what I do understand now is simply this. People that are alike, and if you really want to have fun, you sit down in any kind of setting, whether it's church, anything else, where a group of people together, and you'll see little groups where people are more comfortable in this group than they are in this group, aren't they? Birds of a feather, people that are alike will come together. Any kind of setting that you go into, you will find people that will come together. It's kind of like a magnet there. But Christians should flock together and come together to help withstand Satan and all the world's temptations. They should come together to pray for one another, to lift one another up, to care for one another. The ladies, the shoeboxes. I'm going to tell you what. Parents, how many of you would take a shoebox and go down to the dollar store and buy a lot of little $1 toys and give it to your child for Christmas? What do you think their reaction would be? What? That's not what I asked for. But did you see those kids? Those kids were so excited, caring for one another. And no, I wasn't there, you weren't there, but did you see those pictures? Those pictures that we just saw were real. And those kids were so appreciative for anything that they got. And they knew that it was because of the love of Christians. Isn't that great? You see how you just witnessed, when you do a shoebox, one, two, or ever how many you do, you just witnessed to somebody, to a child. You showed that child that you cared, that you loved them through Jesus Christ. When we send our missionaries out all over the world, we're telling these people we love them, aren't we? And so we come together for fellowship. And there are people that are going to say, I don't need to go to church to worship God. And that's true, you don't. There's nowhere that says you have to. I've not said anywhere in the Ten Commandments said thou must be in church every Sunday. Although it wouldn't be bad. Wouldn't be bad at all, would it? But there is nothing that says that. But we can see in the scriptures that Jesus would swear on the Sabbath, the synagogue. Doing what? Worshiping. And on occasions, reading scriptures and speaking. But he saw that it was important to be there, and so therefore he was there in fellowship with one another. And as ministers, there are frustrations in our lives that we want to deal with, but sometimes we feel like, who can I talk to? And you may feel the same way. And we need to see that we can fellowship for lifting up one another and sharing our problems with one another. I mean, how many times are people at work going to get with you and say, you know, that's okay, we're going to pray for you right now. We're going to take care of this situation. Isn't that where church should be? Isn't that where Christians should be, where we can lift one another up? Fellowship is important in a Christian life. We need encouragement. Reading the scriptures is great. Being in fellowship with God is great, but we also need it with one another, because he says in 1 John 4:7-8 that if we can't love one another, then we can't love God. Right? Beloved, let us love one another, for God is of love. So if we can't love one another, how are we going to love God? How can you say, I love God and hate your brother? We have to come in fellowship to lift one another up and to share with one another. So we come to church to worship God, to praise His name, to holla His name, to lift up above every name Jesus Christ. We go to church to become inspired, to charge up, to see that there is hope. Now, there are some preachers that will beat you down and say you're sinners and therefore leave it there. But yes, we are sinners. But God has always said what? There is hope, isn't there? There's hope. Yeah, we're sinners. We're going to sin. We're not perfect. But there's hope, because one day as Christians, where are we going to end up? We're going to end up in heaven. Man, if that's not hope, what is? So we come because there's hope. But we come to be revived. Revived. Now, one thing that we've learned since I've started preaching two services here is simply this. We have rechargeable batteries. And we have tried to squeeze two Sundays out of those batteries and don't make it.
Therefore, we have to take those batteries out and send them up there and put them in a charger to get recharged so that next Sunday they will work. We come to church to get charged up, to get energized, don't we? And we should be revved up and ready to go when we leave church into this room. We should be go to church to have fellowship with each other, but especially with God. So why do you come to church this morning? I used to ask teenagers that all the time as a youth minister, and they're honest. And you know what most of them would say? Mom made me. I've even seen a few out there just, Mom made me. Yeah, I did. When I was a kid, the only reason I was in church on Sunday mornings because my mother said, get up and go. And we went to church. We went to church. Our oldest son was born on Sunday, and the following Sunday he was in church, and he was for the next 18 years. Every Sunday, every time the doors were open, he came to church. Why? Because Mom and Dad, or Dad probably, made him. So this morning I ask you, why do you come to church? You're an adult now, most of you in here. Why do you come to church? What is the importance of it? Have you truly worshiped this morning? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning that you've given us and this opportunity that we have now to come and to worship you and to share with you. And we just thank you, Father, for giving us these passages of scriptures that we can gather together, that we can assemble together to study your word, to worship you, to present our tithes and offerings and come to you in a time of communion. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we have an invitation hymn that we use, and we'll ask if you would to stand in just a second. But this invitation is an invitation to invite people to come and to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. We invite you to slip down the aisle, come to the front here. I'll be standing down here. I can pray that prayer with you. I can help you know whether you're saved or whether you need to invite Jesus into your heart, and we can do that at this time. It's also an invitation for you to come and to rededicate your life. Whatever God may be dealing with you, we invite you to come and to join this church as we stand and sing. Our team will come and lead us.